Yeah, we were finishing up talking about Paul being in the Old Testament. It's just not written there. I mean, they can skip verse 3 and read verse 6 or 9 or wherever it is that they say he's in there, but they're talking about Israel. I mean, the Bible's talking about Israel, not about Paul. So be aware, you know, again, study so that you can detect these errors when you hear them and not just fall for them. You can go through your mind over the last few years. People have come in, been enamored, and then all of a sudden they're gone. Oh, they found another teacher. Well, we're not to follow teacher after teacher. We're to compare scripture with scripture. And that's what we're trying to do here. So let's work together on this. Error number 5. There's a truth for error number 5. But they claim that James, the half-brother of Jesus, was the false apostle that Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 to 15. Let's read that and see what Paul is saying. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 through 15. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's pretty startling, you know, if you hadn't heard that before, or if you hadn't really thought about it. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, all I can say about that is beware. Believe the scripture and beware. Be alert. So this error, though, helps support the other errors that those people that are holding those errors, they're promoting. It's a whole system of error. And I call it an error because there's no Bible evidence that the half-brother of Jesus was apostate. He was an unbeliever before, and he didn't fake it that he was. He did not believe Jesus was the Christ before Christ's crucifixion, but neither did Thomas. You can read that in John. Well, let's look at John, at least a week after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. We can read in John 20, 24 and 25. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails. Remember, a Jew requires a sign. We live by faith. They live by sight. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So we need to believe. We need to... There is nothing in the Bible about Jesus' half-brother, James, being apostate after he came to believe. He's called an apostle, the brother of our Lord. Look in, I think it's... hold on. Let me see if I got it here. Galatians 1:13, is it? No. No, I don't have it handy here, but he is called an apostle. Might be in Acts. So let's go on with the next error, the truth that replaces the error that no water baptism is occurring in Acts 2 through Acts 12. Part of their system of errors requires that they claim that there was no water baptism occurring in Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, all the way up through Acts 12. Look at Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. That's in Acts 2. I don't know how they can say no water baptism in Acts 2. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Peter talking to Israel that only received remission of sins until they're blotted out when Christ returns. Acts 3:19. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, look at Acts 8, a little later in Acts. See if there's baptism, water baptism going on there. Who, when they, let me, hold on a minute. Let me get the red stick out here. And see if I can post Acts 8:15. There we go. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And then verse 16, we're going to go through 17, actually. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, that's not the spirit baptism, then, is it? That's water baptized. Water baptism it's talking about. There was water baptism going on between Acts 2 and Acts 12. Well, let's finish. I did say I'd go to 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So separate events, not the, you know, the water baptism separate from this, the spirit baptism. Acts 8:36, down in the chapter a little further, and he's talking to the eunuch. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Talking about water baptism, Acts 8, between Acts 2 and Acts 12. And Philip responded and said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, and this is what they had to believe, Israel, you know, what was missing. They had the temple. They came three times a year. They were circumcised. They obeyed the law. But they didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. And here he says, he fills in that gap. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not a fraud, as he had been accused of and crucified for being. So one more verse, and then we'll go to Acts 10. And we'll see more water baptism. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And I take that, I don't take that as a contradiction of the reed shaken in the wind. I think they went down, he got the reed, dipped it in the water, and as they were standing, he shook it on the man and baptized him. Water baptized him in Israel's doctrine, not in ours. So one more verse. This is in Acts 10:47. After Cornelius's family and friends, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? All right, well, that kind of concludes that there was water baptism going on, regardless of what the error is preached, what error is preached about it, between Acts 2 and Acts 12. All right, next truth to counter the error. The law of liberty in James 1:25 and James 2:12. If I draw a circle on the ground and the only rule I give you is to stay out of the circle, then you have complete freedom other than for that one thing. Stay out of the circle. You know, just like Adam and Eve had complete freedom to eat whatever they wanted as long as they didn't eat from that one tree. That law gave them freedom, the freedom to do anything else. The law of Moses gives liberty, except for if you want to bear false witness or murder someone or whatever else the law says or says not to do. So there was liberty in the law as it was given. Error number 8. Truth that dispels error number 8. Paul did not start a grace church in Jerusalem between Acts 9 and Acts 13, as they claim. We aren't going to take the time to read through those four chapters, but there is just not a single word about that, about Paul starting a grace church in Jerusalem at that time in those chapters, or anywhere else in the Bible for that matter. He just didn't do it. So that's an error. That's true. They make it up as they go along to fit so that they can continue to receive their salary, or so that they don't lose their pension, or whatever the case. It usually falls back on mammon, on a money issue, or pride involved with mammon. So, error 9. We may finish this after all. We got 10 to this one and one more to go. But the Mosaic Law did not end at the cross. Let's look at some verses that talk about that. I didn't read the verses from the other one, but in fact, just to complete it, let me go back in the one about the law of liberty and read the two verses that were involved here. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So they're still talking about receiving blessings for keeping the covenant. That's Israelitish. Verse 12 in chapter 2 of James, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So, you know, you've got liberty, but not to break the law, in other words, if you're an Israelite. So, all right, back to error number 9. Did the Mosaic Law end at the cross? Let's look at Psalm 111, verse 7. And I'll put that up there. 111, verse 7. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. Verse 8. Oops, didn't get it up there in time. Verse 8. They stand, what? The works of his hands? All his commandments are sure. His commandments stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. And a clincher verse here to remember and write down about the law. The statute, this is 2 Kings 17:37, and the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall observe to do forevermore. You shall not fear other gods. So don't let some other god or somebody else's priorities detract you Israelites. Not you that I'm talking to, but this is what the impact of the verse is saying. Don't be detracted from obeying the law that they were under. We're not, but they were. And it continued. That verse should be quite enough for every Bible believer to understand that Israel was and is under the law. I mean, they're not. None of their prophecy is transpiring at the moment because they're blinded and cast away. The Mosaic Law never stopped. That's right. It does serve a purpose in the body of Christ. Well, not in the body, but for Gentiles, for those wanting to come into the body, wanting to believe Paul's gospel. It shows that we're sinners. The Bible, let's see, what is that? It's probably in my notes later, but let me just grab it now that we're talking about it. I think it's, let me run through these three verses. I think it's in there. But we know that the law is good. Yeah, if a man use it lawfully. Verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. And what does it say? God in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Christ to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. the law is not made for a righteous man. But so it's not made for us that are in Christ, that are believers in Paul's gospel, but for the lawless. So the law is made for the lawless, for the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Oops, I got behind. Let me get the verse up there. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurers, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing contrary to sound doctrine. So, you know, what is sound doctrine? Here we get a great definition of it, Paul gives us. Sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. So the gospel of God, which was committed to my trust. That's sound doctrine. That's undeniable. So let's look at some other verses to confirm it. Look at Revelation 12:17. Past this dispensation that we're in, into the tribulation. And the dragon was wroth or angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. So they were still keeping the commandments in the tribulation, or they will be, it says, and have the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Isaiah 8:16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. So it was for the little flock, the disciples, and for what Paul had said there in 1 Timothy 1:9-10, for the unlawful to point out their sin. But it was for those keeping the law to keep too, those in the little flock that were the true circumcision. Psalm 119:44, verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. Statement by, I'm pretty sure that's David in one Psalm 119 about the Word of God. Matthew 23 verses 2 and 3, almost, I mean, it. Well, it's not humorous, it's pitiful that they were such hypocrites, but the Lord talks about the Pharisees, and it says, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So they carry, you know, it's almost like a, what do you call it now, the RC Roman Church says, what do they call that? I can't think of it. You know, carried on apostleship, they call it, or something like that. Apostolic succession. That's what I was trying to think of. The Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Right in front of him, he says, but do you not after their works, for they say and do not. And, you know, that's very much like in, what was it, chapter 13 of Matthew, I think it is, where he says, you hypocrites. Over and over he calls them hypocrites. You hypocrites. I'm sure, you know, the Lord sent Jesus to die for the sins of the world, and he was bringing that to a head so that they would crucify him so that he could die for our sins. That's why you get those verses like in the blinding verses there, Isaiah, it sounds like he's saying, so that you can't believe, so that you can't convert anymore. You're blinded so that you can't hear and believe and be saved. Well, that's true. At that time, he limited them so that they would crucify him so he could be their Savior and our Savior. He had reached the point that he was beginning to carry out his will rather than waiting and long-suffering through all those years and centuries, actually. Welcome without love. Okay, saw you last night. but just got a peek today. Anyway, Matthew 23:23. Did I put that up there? No, let me read that one. Woe, there it is again. Woe unto, oh, it's 23. I was thinking that was 13. Maybe it's both. Anyway, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. there's an explanation point there. He's really putting it to them. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. It's like saying you take the dust of the ground and tithe of that almost. You know, it's almost worthless things. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith. He's told them right out. They have omitted faith. And Paul tells them in Romans 10:8, that's the thing that kept them from receiving the kingdom and the king. They lacked the faith. The same faith that Paul taught. What gospel did Paul preach that Peter and Jesus also preached? That would only be the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Messiah risen from the dead, the Son of God. He said, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So, it's not a trade-off. They should have done it all. Welcome to the room. Hi. Let's go one more two-verse confirmation that the Mosaic Law did not end at the cross. Look in Matthew 28:19-20. 28 chapter and verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's not clicking. There we go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, he just commanded them in chapter 23, verses 2 and 3, to obey the law. Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, alway, every way, alway, even unto the end of the world. You need more verses? Why would you need more than one if you believe the Bible? But there are confirming verses such as Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, Psalms 103, verses 17 and 18, Acts 21, verses 20, and Acts 22, verse 12. So they've either unintentionally or intentionally mix the dispensings of God. They point to Paul's epistles and try to show that the law ended with Christ. Look at Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Well, what about those that don't believe? That's what we've been talking about. They seem to forget that last clause, to everyone that believeth. In the context, it is not to anyone that believes anything. You know, it's not just have some kind of a faith. It's to anyone who believes that gospel, that particular gospel that Paul himself preached, that was given to him by Christ. Look at Romans 2:16. Let me get that up there. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. The gospel that Jesus Christ gave Paul is the gospel that Jesus Christ is going to use to judge. And I believe he's going to judge who gets caught up. It's a decision, before the judgment seat of Christ. It's well before the great white throne. But they're related, of course. You know, the same judge. But then they try to change the playing field by claiming that Israel could not be under the law because no one can be justified by the law. But, you know, Israel was under the law because God placed them under the law and they agreed to it. They said, all these commandments you have given us, we will do. But they're under it not because that it justifies them. They're under it because that was the covenant with God, the agreement. It's not a matter of whether they're justified by the law or not. No, they're not. But that's not the reason that they were to be under it. All right. Last error to be corrected by the truth. And then we'll get back to Byron Wiggins' lesson. But some of the error purveyors, they even claim that if you teach that the saved should be careful to maintain good works, then you're not saved. You know, but think about the light that this verse sheds on that topic. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, that's a past tense, that's believing, entrusting yourself to God, you've believed in God, they might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So for them to say that, for somebody to preach, it's just an error to say that if somebody preaches good works, that saved people should do good works, then you're not saved. That's really an error. I mean, it's they make obvious errors. I don't know, it's hard to see how they can keep doing these, but I guess they preach their own verses. You know, they don't preach the whole Bible. So, here's a thought to close with. It may need a little refinement, and maybe you guys will be the ones to refine it. If I offer you $100 if you can fly for a full mile, go across a whole mile without touching the ground, fly. Now, I'm not talking about being shot out of a cannon or something.